Good morning. How's everybody this morning? Good. If you are a guest with us this morning, welcome. We are so excited about the fact that you've chosen to join with us for worship this morning. And hopefully when you came in, you received a welcome packet. Inside that welcome packet is a little card. If you just take a moment, fill that out, drop it in the offering plate when it comes by, or just leave it on the information table, that would be so helpful. Hopefully you also received a bulletin, and all the rest of you did as well. So if not, make sure that you get one on the way out, because there's important information for you to be able to know. So if you have a bulletin, open it up. Let's take a look at what's going on. Right after our morning worship service this morning, we are having Sunday school. And remember, we have Sunday school for kids all the way up through adults, and so I would encourage you to be able to stay. Tuesday night, we have men's Bible study at 6:30 here at the Change, here at the church. Men, remember, this is a time change. So we used to meet at 7, now we're meeting at 6:30. So hopefully you are apprised of that. Thursday night, Wednesday, we have Joy Bible study here at the church at 1 p.m. Thursday, we have Awana. Saturday, men's breakfast, and this is open to all of the men of our church. And so I know 8 o'clock seems pretty early. Some of our men say 8 o'clock is too late to eat breakfast, but they somehow eat breakfast at home and then come here and eat breakfast. So I don't know about that. But anyway, all right. And so come and join us for breakfast at 8 a.m. here at the church. And then when you go to bed, before you go to bed, set your clocks back 1 hour. It's fall back. And so you get an extra hour of sleep. So you're all going to be here next Sunday morning, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, right?
Oh, yeah.
Right. Okay. All right. If I know you, you're going to find something else to do with that extra hour, and you're going to be just as tired when you come on Sunday morning as any other time. All right. So the mailboxes have all been moved. So they're no longer in the hallway. They are in the library. So if you haven't gone in and saw the new mailboxes for our church family, you need to go in, take a look at it. Look at where your mailbox is. If you have stuff in it, take it out. Don't just keep it in there. We're going to start charging you rent if it stays in there too long. No, I'm just kidding. We won't do that. Okay? All right. Sunday, November 9th is our next church family dinner. I hope you have that on your calendar. There's information in the bulletin about that. You can read. I'm not going to go over that for you. There's a whole lot more of information in the bulletin for you to be able to enjoy. Well, are you glad you're here?
Yes.
It's kind of nice and warm in here, isn't it? It's not as warm outside. It's kind of warm in here. And I know once the preacher starts preaching, it's going to get really hot. Okay? But that's okay because of all the hot air. You're not supposed to agree. Okay? All right. Okay. Are you ready to worship?
Yeah.
Ready to praise? Good. Ready to experience all that God has for you today? Let's go.
Would you all stand with me this morning?
Come, let us worship our King. Come, let us bow at His feet. He has done great things. Oh, see what our Savior has done. See how His love overcomes. He has done great things. Oh, He has done great things. Oh, hero of heaven, You conquer the grave. You free every captive and break every chain, oh God. You have done great things. We dance in Your freedom, awake and alive. Oh, Jesus, our Savior, Your name lifted high, oh God. You have done great things. You've been faithful through every storm. You'll be faithful forevermore. You have done great things. And I know You will do it again. For Your promise is yes and amen. You will do great things. Oh God, you do great things. Oh hero of heaven, you conquer the grave. You free every captive and break every chain. Oh God, you have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. Oh God, you have done great things. Alleluia, God, above it all. Alleluia, God, unshakable. Alleluia, you have done great things. You've done great things. Alleluia, God, above it all. Alleluia, God, unshakable. Alleluia, you have done great things. You've done great things. Oh, hero of heaven, you conquer the grave. You free every captive and break every chain. Oh, God, you have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh, Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. Oh, God, you have done great things. You have done great things. Oh God, you do great things. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Please go ahead and be seated as we continue this morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, amen. Amen. Woo! We're going to sing some songs. We're going to praise Jesus today. So if you came for any other reason, sorry. Going to disappoint you. We're here for him. When the road runs dead, you can see a way I don't. when it makes no sense, but you say that's what faith is for. When I see a flood, you see a promise. When I see a grave, you see a door. When I'm at my end, you see where the future starts. I don't know how you make a way, but I know you will. I don't know how you make a way, but I know you will. You've been good on every promise, from Eden to Zion, through every dead end and out of that grave. I don't know how you make a way, but I know you will. When the world's on fire, it's not like you don't have a plan. And when the earth gives way on this rock, your church will stand. Nothing has ever once surprised you. Nothing has ever made you flinch. And when it all shakes out, the gates of hell don't stand a chance. I don't know how you make a way, but I know you will. I don't know how you make a way, but I know you will. You've been good on every promise, from Eden to Zion, through every dead end and out of that grave. I don't know how you make a way, but I know you will. You pulled my heart from Egypt. You carved a road through sea, from all our chains to endless praise. The story ends in you. And when we cross that Jordan, look back at where we've been, from all our chains to endless praise. The story ends in you. I don't know how you make a way, but I know you will. I don't know how you make a way, but I know you will. You've been good on every promise, from Eden to Zion, through every dead end and out of that grave. I don't know how you make a way, but I know you will. I know you will. Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. Let's sing the next verse. Standing on the promises I now can see, perfect present cleansing in the blood for me. Standing in the liberty where Christ makes free. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to Him eternally by love's strong cord. Overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword. Standing on the promises of God. Verse 5. Standing on the promises I cannot fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God.
Thank you, Lord, that we can stand on your promises, because you're the only promise keeper, truly. the only one who will never fail, the only one who will never break that promise. Lord, thank you for all that you have given to us for hope and for future. Lord, we love you. We are so thankful to be your people and to be in your house and to be able to praise you this morning, to put all the things, all the worries, all the cares right at your feet. Lord, we love you. We're so thankful for you today. We want to magnify you today. Amen. Our usher is going to take this morning's offering, and we're going to sing a song that you probably have heard on the radio, so if you know it, sing it along. Otherwise, just praise with us from your heart.
Creation suddenly articulate, with a thousand tongues to lift one cry. Then from north to south and east to west, we'd hear Christ be magnified. Echoing his eminence, his name would burst from sea and sky, from rivers to the mountain tops, we'd hear Christ be magnified. Oh, Christ be magnified. Let his praise arise, Christ be magnified in me. Oh, Christ be magnified from the altar of my life, Christ be magnified in me. Every creature finds its inmost melody, and every human heart its native cry. Oh, then in one enraptured hymn of praise, we'll sing Christ be magnified. Oh, Christ be magnified. Let his praise arise, Christ be magnified in me. Oh, Christ be magnified from the altar of my life, Christ be magnified in me. Yeah. I won't bow to idols, I'll stand strong and worship you. And if it puts me in the fire, I'll rejoice cause you're there too. I won't be formed by feelings, I hold fast to what is true. If the cross brings transformation, I'll be crucified with you. Cause death is just a doorway into resurrection life. If I join you in your sufferings, then I'll join you when you rise. And when you return in glory with all the angels and the saints, my heart will still be singing and my song will be the same. Oh, Christ be magnified. Let his praise arise. Christ be magnified in me. Oh, Christ be magnified from the altar of my life, Christ be magnified in me. And oh, Christ be magnified, let his praise arise, Christ be magnified in me. And oh, Christ be magnified from the altar of my life. Christ be magnified in me.
You know, one of the purposes of God's purpose and plan for our lives is for Him to be magnified. Not just the songs that we sing, not just the words that we use, not just walking through the doors of a church on Sunday morning, but every moment of our lives, Christ is to be magnified. What a challenge that is. But when we do it, what a blessing it becomes. Amen? Amen? Amen. All right, children, come on down. We'll get you ready for Children's Church. Hey, buddy. Come on. All right, let's pray. Father, we are just so grateful. And Father, thank you for the opportunity we've had to be able to magnify you with your voice, with our voices. And Father, I pray that our worship was sweet to your heart. And Father, I pray that as we listen to your word, that your word will be sweet to our hearts. And Father, that we will take it in, and then we will use it to magnify you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, go have a good time. While they're being dismissed, turn with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter 11, Genesis chapter 11. We're continuing on in our study of the heritage of trust that has been an example from people in the Bible to us. And many of you have been talking about how this has really been something that you've enjoyed, is being able to look not real in depth, but enough into some of these people in the Bible to be able to see their lives and what their lives were all about. And it's all about trust. It's all about trusting God's promises. And we're going to see that again today as we look at the life of a person named Sarah. Sarah, I believe, was a person who trusted God with beauty. We're going to talk more about that. And men, this doesn't mean you can check out, okay? Because there's lessons not only for the ladies as we look at the life of Sarah, but there's lessons for us as men as well. A man once told a story about his 84-year-old grandmother. With a resolve as strong as steel, she maintained her independence and lived alone in the old family home. Her four children lived in the same town, but she rarely called them except in emergencies. One day, with some apprehension, she called her grandson, and he drove to her house in answer to her phone call. When he arrived, she said that she suspected that there was a burglar in her bedroom closet, since she had heard noises in there the night before. "Why didn't you call me last night?" her grandson asked. "Well," she replied, "it was late, and I didn't want to bother you, so I just nailed the closet shut and went to bed." Now, this is an example of the type of trust that we see lived out in the lives of people in the Bible. A trust that nails the doors of doubt shut and then calmly leaves the rest to God. That's the kind of trust that God tells us Abraham had, and it's the same kind of trust that his wife Sarah had as well. And so it's in Genesis chapter 11 that we are first introduced to Sarah. So hopefully by now you found Genesis chapter 11 in your Bible. Follow along as I read verses 29 and 30. "And Abram and Nahor took wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarah, and the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and Iscah. Now Sarah was barren. She had no child." Did you catch that? Sarah was barren. This short, to the point phrase describes the one consistent problem that clouded Sarah's life. Sarah was barren. She had no children. Which is kind of strange, because God had told Abraham that he had great plans for him. He was to be the father of nations. He was to have as many descendants as the stars in the sky and the sand on the ground, and all the nations of the earth would be blessed through his descendants. But Sarah was barren. And as a result of that, maybe there were some things going on in Sarah's heart and mind that the Bible doesn't really tell us, but probably naturally we would probably understand. Maybe she felt she was holding Abraham back from fulfilling God's great plan for him. Maybe she felt she was the wrong woman for him, or so it seemed. Maybe she felt inadequate. And you know what? So do other believers. And maybe that describes some of you. You feel inadequate with your role and responsibility as a woman or a man or a wife and a husband or as someone who serves God in the church. Sometimes, no matter how much we study, no matter how much we try, no matter what we do, it doesn't work. So often, like Sarah, all of us, men and women alike, feel inadequate. But it's okay. Because in our inadequacy, we realize our weaknesses. And that drives us to our knees. Our inadequacy drives us to be more dependent on God, who demonstrates his power in our weaknesses. Ethel Barrymore, if you're old, you probably know that name. Ethel Barrymore once said, when life knocks you to your knees, well, that's the best position in which to pray, isn't it? A lot of truth in that statement, isn't there? God loves to work in amazing ways when we are dependent on him. Let me say that again. God loves to work in amazing ways when we are dependent on him. So if you're feeling inadequate this morning, bring that inadequacy to God. Then stand back and watch what God will do. Once upon a time, a house servant had two large pots, which hung from each end of a pole that he carried across his neck. One of the pots had a crack in it. At the end of the long walk from the stream to the master's house, the crack pot arrived only half full. The other pot was perfect and always delivered a full portion of water. For 2 years, the servant delivered each day only 1.5 pots of water to his master's house. The perfect pot was proud of its accomplishments, but the poor cracked pot was ashamed of its own imperfection and miserable over accomplishing half of what it had been made to do. After 2 years of what it perceived to be bitter failure, the cracked pot spoke to the servant one day by the stream. I'm ashamed of myself, and I want to apologize to you. What are you ashamed of? Asked the bearer. For these past 2 years, I've been able to deliver only half of my load because this crack in my side causes water to leak out all the way to your master's house. Because of my flaws, you don't get full value from your work. The servant said, as we return to the master's house, I want you to notice the beautiful flowers along the path. As they went up the hill, the crackpot noticed the beautiful wildflowers on its side of the path. When they reached the house, the servant said to the pot, did you notice that the flowers grew only on your side of the path, not on the other pot's side? That's because I've always known about your flaw, and I took advantage of it. I planted flower seeds on your side of the path, and every day while we walk back from the stream, you've watered them. For 2 years, I have been able to pick beautiful flowers to decorate my master's house. Each of us has flaws. But if we let him, God will use our flaws to bring beauty to his purposes and his plans. So, bring your inadequacies to God, then stand back and watch what God will do. Sarah was a great picture of this. Sarah trusted God, and she trusted God with beautiful patience and obedience. And as a result of that, there were some things she learned. First, Sarah learned how to embrace the beauty of truth, of trust. Watch how Sarah does this. Turn to Genesis chapter 12. And I'm going to start reading in verse 10 and read down through verse 15. Now there was a famine in the land. So Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was severe in the land. When he was about to enter Egypt, he said to Sarah, his wife, I know that you are a woman beautiful in appearance. And when the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. Then they will kill me, but they will let you live. Say you are my sister, that it may go well with me because of you, that my life may be spared for your sake. When Abram entered Egypt, the Egyptians saw that the woman was very beautiful. And when the princes of Pharaoh saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. Now, later on, God ends up rescuing Sarah from Pharaoh's house. But there's something here we learn about Sarah. She was a beautiful woman. She had physical beauty. She had such physical beauty that it made her the desire of two kings. Pharaoh here in Genesis chapter 12 and Abimelech in Genesis chapter 20. But there was more to Sarah than just physical beauty. Sarah learned to enhance the beauty of trust, to embrace the beauty of trust, and to enhance the beauty of trust. Sarah had a spiritual beauty. She had an inner beauty that came from her heart. How do we know that? Listen to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 6. It says, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, you are her children if you do good, and do not fear anything that is frightening. This inner beauty of Sarah came shining through, even when things seemed hard to understand. Now put yourself in Sarah's shoes. I'm sure you all know the story of how they got to the land of Canaan. Put yourself in her shoes. You're living in a comfortable home. Remember, we talked about Abraham living in the Ur of Chaldees, and the Ur of Chaldees was a very modern, a very cultured city. They had houses that were two stories. They had houses that were painted to be able to make them look good. They had houses with indoor plumbing and sanitation. And so here's Sarah living in this comfortable place. She has family and friends all around. She's happy, settled, and secure. And then one day, her husband comes in the house or the tent and says, honey, pack up everything. We're moving. And where? You might ask. I don't know, your husband answers. God just told me to move to a place he would show me. And by the way, you better pack tents because I don't think there will be any houses in the place where we are going. I don't think that Sarah was too thrilled at the prospect of going who knows where to live in tents the rest of her life. But with trust and beauty, she obeyed her husband. He had received God's direction and God's promise of blessing. So together, they moved. They moved with all their possessions to a land they had never seen before. And even when her husband stopped trusting God and moved to Egypt for a time, she did not oppose him. She went with him. That's what we saw in Genesis chapter 12. They were in this thing together. They were trusting God as a team. Sarah was a beautiful woman, both outside and inside. She was a woman who trusted God. Sarah also learned to enjoy the beauty of God's promises. And that's a lesson for us. Place your trust in God's word. Trust in what God has said in his word. This is what Sarah did. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Sarah trusted the promises of God. Didn't we sing a song about that this morning? Thank you, worship team. Standing on the promises. Sarah stood on the promises of God. And as a result, when God had come and said to Abraham and to Sarah, I am going to give you a son in your old age, Sarah trusted God. She didn't trust God completely, but she trusted God. And eventually, in God's timing, in God's purpose and plan, God gave her a son in her old age. How old was Sarah when she gave birth to Isaac? She was 90. How old was Abraham when Sarah conceived this son? He was 100. Okay? God had promised to send you a son in your old age. And God fulfilled that promise. Sarah waited 90 years to have a baby. God used her life to bring about his incredible plan for human history, continuing to this day to fulfill his promise of blessing the families of the world through Abraham and Sarah's descendants, proving that God is never limited by human circumstances. Sarah's trust was the key. Sarah's trust in God's promises was the key. Sarah's trust in God was the key. It's the only way she could go with her husband to an unknown land. It's the only way she could follow the lead of a man that was not always perfect. Remember, we've been talking about this life of trust, this heritage of trust has nothing to do with sinless perfection, but it has everything to do with what? Trusting God. It's the only way she could adorn herself with an inner and spiritual beauty. It's the only way she could trust God. Sarah believed God was the key to everything else in her life, and it's the key for you and me as well. Sarah believed God. Here's the question. Do we? Oh, on Sunday morning, it's easy to sing songs that talk about our belief in God. Oh, as we're talking to Christian people, it's easy to talk about our belief in God. It's another thing to live it out day by day, circumstance after circumstance. But in his word, God has given us what? Promise after promise after promise. And as Jared reminded us just a little bit ago, God is not a promise breaker. When God's word says this is what he will do, he will do it. When God's word says this was his purpose and plan, it will be fulfilled. It will be fulfilled. It was fulfilled in the past, just as God said. It's fulfilled today, just as God said. It'll be fulfilled tomorrow and on into eternity, just as God said. We can trust God. But if you're going to trust God, then you got to depend on him. Because if you're dependent on anything else, you're not trusting God. Let me say that again. If you're depending on anything else, you're not trusting God. If you're depending on your circumstances, you're not trusting God. If you're depending on your own strength, you're not trusting God. If you depend on your own intelligence, you're not trusting God. If you depend on your own sustenance and your own provision, your own sustaining your own life, you're not trusting God. The only way to trust God is to be dependent on him. And to be dependent on him means we take him at his word. Now, I know you're all very astute. You're all very intelligent. You're all sitting there and going, Pastor, that's not easy. You're right. It's not. But it is doable. We saw that in the life of Abel. We saw that in the life of Enoch. We saw that in the life of Noah. We saw that in the life of Abraham. You get the picture? Now we're seeing it in the life of Sarah. And by the way, I'm going to remind you again, these were not super saints. These were not super spiritual people. They were human beings who believed and trusted in God just like you, just like me. It can be done. But we have to make that choice every day. Sometimes we have to make that choice multiple times during the course of a day. You must depend on him. If you're going to trust him, you must depend on him. You must take him at his word. Trust God. Trust what God has said, just like Sarah did. Warren Wiersbe, a preacher of old, once said, "We live by God's promises, not by God's explanations." Boy, we see that over and over again, right? Right? Did God explain to Enoch that one day he was going to be walking with God and he was just going to say, "Enoch, just come on home"? Did God give a whole lot of explanation to Noah when he said to Noah, "I want you to build this ark because I'm going to destroy humankind. I'm going to destroy all things that are living except for the people that go into the ark with you"? Didn't give him a whole lot of list of explanations. Didn't give Abraham a whole list of explanations. He said to Abraham, "Abraham, I want you to pack everything up and I want you to start on a journey. And when you get to where I want you to be, which, by the way, was the land of Canaan, when you get to where to be where I want you to be, then I'll tell you that you've got there, that that's the place that I have for you. Didn't explain to go north, south, east, west. I've told you before, if God would have said that to me, I would have said, how am I supposed to get there? What direction am I supposed to start in? But Abraham and Sarah did what? They just trusted God. They believed in God. They depended on him. And Sarah enjoyed the beauty of God's promises. And we can too. Now, I've tied this message into communion. So we're going to shift gears a little bit, and we're going to use this message to be able to prepare us for the celebration of communion this morning. God's Word, the Bible, tells us that Jesus died on the cross to pay the debt of sin that we owed, because we could not pay that debt ourselves. Jesus did for us what we could not do. God's redemption and propitiation for our sins is a completed event, and God communicated that to us in his word. And this is how the promise made to Abraham that through him and Sarah, all the families of the world would be blessed. And this promise is still being fulfilled today, as every day throughout the world, people are coming to believe in Jesus. People are coming to believe in what he did for them on the cross, how he paid what God required for the debt of sin that every human being owed. He made that promise. He made that promise all the way back to in the Garden of Eden as Adam and Eve were there listening. He made that promise to Abraham when he said, through you, through your descendants, all of the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. How does that happen? Because it was through his descendants, who later became known as the nation of Israel, that God used to bring the Savior into the world. God made a promise to Abraham that he was going to do that. And even yet today, that promise is still being fulfilled. God's salvation is a reality, and we can believe it. So the celebration of communion helps us to be reminded of what Jesus has done for us. That's what the bread is all about. It's what the cup is all about. To remind us that on that cross, Jesus gave himself. His body was broken. That's what the bread represents. His blood was shed. That's what the cup represents. So this morning, let's keep that in mind, that God's enduring promise is still being fulfilled today, as people today have an opportunity to believe in Jesus as Savior. I'm going to ask the men to come and join me at the table.
Became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing, love so Jesus Messiah, name above all names.
blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah. The bread, his blood, the wine, broken and poured out, all for love. The whole earth trembled and the veil was torn. Love so amazing, love so amazing.
Let's remember Jesus.
Love so amazing. Love so amazing, yeah. Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sin. Messiah, Lord of all our hope is in you, our hope is in you, all the glory to you, the light of the world, Jesus Messiah, name above all names, our blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel. For sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all, Jesus Messiah, the Lord. The Lord of all, the Lord of all.
Let's remember Jesus.
Would you all stand with me for a final song?
walk with the Lord in the light of His Word. What a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. For we never can prove the delights of His love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows and the joy He bestows are for those who will trust and obey. And trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. So we'll trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
We'll see you at Sunday school in about 15 minutes.